So I'm so happy, Rajni and Sandeep, to be talking with you in India, because in the U.S., the divorce rate is 40 to 50%. The divorce rate is going down, but so are the number of marriages. So a lot of people aren't getting married. And the average duration of a marriage in the U.S. is just 20 years. That's the median of a marriage right. duration. Whereas in India, most people get married, and almost everybody stays married till death do us part. And the divorce rate is one of the lowest in the world. So my question to you is, maybe over 90% of marriages aren't what's called love or choice marriages. The families help arrange them. So do you think the two go together, that the marriage rate is more intact in India because the families are involved in choosing a mate? Or how do you explain the differences between marriage rates?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I mean, never really thought about it. But you know, I just want to say that you know, those who are planning not to get married, I mean, I have a word of advice for them, that you know, it's one of the most fulfilling experiences of my life. I mean, he completes me in every manner. So you know, it's been, I mean, we've been married for 20 years. Have
more than 20 years now.
yes. So because.
Now we're in another segment.
Yes, so we got married in April 2000. So, you know, this April we completed 20, and you know, now crossed over to the other side, so to say. And you know, it has been a fun ride. And I mean, not to say that like every relationship, there are ups and downs, but we've braved it together. And you know, it's good to know that there is someone, you know, who is closer to you than anyone else in the world. And you know, when I go out, I know that, you know, he's waiting for me at home. Or when he's out, I mean, he knows. So that feeling of you know, having a connect is, I think, very, very important. So it has been good. Having
in addition to that, I want to say that it's like each day you have to come back. In my terms, we said that coming back to drawing board. So each day, every day, we have to work it out. We have to sit back and just discuss the things out. So as Rajni is saying, there's ups and downs, but yes, we have to work it out.
And parents are a positive influence that way. I was just, you know, asking him, because a few days ago, my father-in-law, you know, he talked to me, and he said that, you know, Sandeep was asking him, how did he know that I was the right one for him? So, you know, I felt flattered. So that was a good bit. Haven't told you about it.
why don't we start at the beginning, in terms of the process, how you met each other and how your families got you together, and what you thought about the process? Because you hadn't spent much time together before you got married.
In fact, none at all. I mean, that was, you know, in fact, quite a setback, actually, you know, because I had also grown up on a staple diet of Hollywood movies, and, you know, all that courtship and all. So I was kind of looking forward to it, but he refused to, you know, call or, you know, get connected or anything. And I felt that, you know, chuck it. I mean, if he's not going to make the first move, I will not either. So we were engaged for how long?
For I think 6 months.
I think eight months, and we didn't connect with each other at all. So I mean, I have that bone to pick with him. Why he didn't do that?
Well, did you talk on the phone, or you just didn't?
We used to. Sometimes we used to. But I think 3-4 times only. I think.
No.
Only 3-4 times we spoken on the phone.
Yeah. So what made you decide, each of you, okay, I'm going to commit the rest of my life to spending with this person? How did you research it so that you felt secure in your choice?
Our families, you know, kind of, you know, met through common friends. And I think at the time, both of us were like not into getting married. I mean, I was 22, he was 25. And, you know, he was like, who gets married at 25? And same here, I was like, I want to pursue my studies. And, you know, I had started teaching, but I wanted to, you know, go in for becoming an IAS officer. But, you know, from both the sides, you know, our parents were like, you know, this is the right time, go for it. And we were like, okay, we were like obedient children, you know,
yeah,
we were good
go
kids.
Go with the flow.
We were good kids. So we were like, you know, okay, let's see wherever that takes us.
When I was in India, I met some brothers whose sister was a physician, and they did the process of looking for a husband for her, and they had a point system, like, you know, what does he look like? What are his family? They interviewed family and friends, and it was a very methodical point system. And then they would present possibilities to her, and she'd say no, or yeah, let's get to know him better. But it was very methodical.
Yeah, I mean, it happened with us also. I mean, so, you know, my father, he came to, you know, visit Sandeep's house, and you know, his sisters were married. He had lost his mother. So it was, you know, just the two of them, you know, him and his father. So, and they were simple people. So my father said that, you know, it's a good household, and they would appreciate you probably more than anyone else would, because they've been, you know, missing having the touch of a woman in the house. And since they, I mean, he had five sisters. So, I mean, since they are used to having, you know, girls in the household, and they value and appreciate that. So he said that, you know, you'll be happy together. And, you know, I was working, I was a teacher, he was an architect. So professionally, you know, at least we had reached a certain stage that, you know, we were earning our own money. So he said that, you know, you'll be able to make whatever you of your own life. So you would have choices, be independent. So I think that kind of appealed to me. And, you know, I don't know what was it for him. So.
Yeah, same. Yeah, absolutely. At that time, it's the situation that created at that time by the family and everything. And we just follow them. Because we believe in family system. That's, as you said, that in India, family system is quite strong. And there's almost you have to believe them, and time to time it has been proven also in the past that yes, family is there, family, most of the time family is right. So just we agreed, and then we were there.
So I know that families want someone from the same caste, from the same religion, someone who's educated. And they look at your astrological charts to see if they're compatible.
Yeah, so they did all that. I mean, I guess somewhere it's easier, you know, because if you are from the same background, you know, it's easier to adjust because you know what to expect. I mean, you have similar beliefs. So that way it's not such a great challenge, because you know that, you know, same traditions, same beliefs, you would find the same kind of setup at home.
Yeah, absolutely. We are from almost in terms of status in the society also. We are at the par. Our family are like they are doing the jobs. My father is in government job. His father also in government job. So in terms of family status, we almost there. So and we after marriage, we find it very apt also that our thoughts, our beliefs are quite common. It's not very very different. Yes, sometimes yeah, obviously there are differences, but at the most of the time, our beliefs are very quite same.
Like we are both vegetarians, and you know, both coming from non-drinking families. So I mean, these things, you know.
These are small things, but it matters in the long run. It all matters.
So it makes a lot of difference. What you know, what to expect, and you know, what is it that your partner would probably appreciate and not appreciate. So.
Could you say a word about caste, because it's kind of uniquely Indian that if I was Indian, I would know your caste by your last name. And what role does that play now? I know some families if their son or daughter marries out of caste, they'll say, we don't want to ever see you again. I mean, it's like horrendous to marry out of caste. Has that changed, or is that still pretty...
It is changing, you know. Now people are much more open-minded. So now they are just looking for, you know, a family that would keep the daughter happy, or a boy, you know, who they would expect to, you know, stay for the long term, like you are saying, Aminda. So if the beliefs are similar, people are now, you know, looking beyond caste. So I guess at a time, caste was a way to ensure that you are going into a similar background. Plus, you know, caste also plays that important role that if you are from a similar caste, then, you know, if something goes wrong, then that particular society, you know, would be there behind you. So, you know, the intervention of, you know, society also used to come in there. So that's why, you know, caste was important. So, I mean, these were certain social securities that, you know, so it wouldn't only be my, I mean, if something was to go wrong between us, you know, it wouldn't only be my father who would come. He would bring in, you know, the elders from the community also. So so that was the role that caste played. So there would be, you know, a certain pressure if you are going against the tenets of the caste. So
when I was in India, I got to know a couple who had an arranged marriage. And she said it took her maybe 6 months or longer to kind of fall in love with him, to get to know him. What's the process like of being married to essentially a stranger? How does that get resolved?
Falling in love, when did that happen? I mean, it wasn't 6 months, let me tell you. It was much
after
longer.
After marriage, she was asking after
yes,
marriage.
Yes, much longer.
Much longer, yeah.
Many actual love.
Uh-huh. It takes much longer.
More than a year. No, I would put it somewhere around 2009.
Maybe you started falling at that time, but I think...
No, I started seeing it from your side then.
Yeah.
So you know, you set up home together and, you know, you have children. And so you are crossing paths every day, but... you know, that, I mean, it's like, you know, maturing like old wine, I guess. So
how long did it take before you fell in love? I'm not clear.
I mean, he says that he was in love, say, after 1 year. Huh. But I started seeing it visibly after about 8 or 9 years.
Well, what, in 2009, we are quite busy in kids. Kids were small and... It's just bringing them up. I think that was a busy time. I think you weren't able to see my love that way.
No, but he wasn't a very hands-on father also, you know. he was himself quite
no,
a kid.
No, I'm not in agreement. No.
Okay.
It's, I was there, but...
It's how long had you been married before you had your son?
Oh, we had him like what?
After
1 year.
Oh. 1 year, 3 months, almost.
Yeah, yeah,
3-4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
We married in April 2000, and
he was born in August 2001.
Yeah, it's hard because if someone is waking you up every 3 hours around the clock, it does not create a romantic situation.
And he used to run off and, you know, leave the room, you know. So every time the kid would wake up, you know, he would get up and go sleep with his father. So so that's why I'm saying that, you know, he wasn't around. The first cry, and he would be the one to, you know, escape.
When my son's dad, I would say, I am so tired. Could you, like, give him a bottle? And then he would go to the kitchen and go, clang, clang, bang, 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 bang. So I said, okay, forget it. I'll just nurse him. So I know what that's like. So would you say that having children is the most challenging, difficult part of a marriage?
I mean, I did not feel it that much because my father-in-law was there for me, you know, all the time. I mean,
he lived with you.
Yes.
And he was a great help. You know, I was working, so you know, I would get up in the morning and leave for school. I mean, schools, you know, start early morning in Delhi, and you know, I would just hand over the kids to him. So when I, by the time I came back, the kids would be there with him. So, and he was very good with kids. So you know, he has been such a great support. You know, God bless him. I mean, even today, you know, I rely on him for so much. I mean, when I had to go to the US, he was the first person who said that, beta, you go. I will be there. I'll take care of the kids. So had he not said that, I probably would never have been, you know, able to fulfill one of my, you know, dreams of coming, going there. Mm-hmm. He's been good to me, very good to me.
Right.
I'm indebted to him for so many things.
Right. When I visited, you were just building your house, and it was in construction. And some people say building a house is very stressful for a marriage. Did you find that or not?
It was very stressful. You saw the conditions, you know, that we were like, you know, striving. But, you know, it was a dream. But it wasn't stressful for both of us. I mean, it was stressful in terms of, you know, taking care of the outside things. Between us, you know, I mean, I wanted to build the new house and he was there to support. So, I mean, the process started long before, you know, I would bring, you know, builders at home that, you know, should we give it to him. And initially they were a little reluctant because of the, you know, turmoil it would include, you know, a few months, you know, that would be. And, you know, lots of things went wrong. But I think between us, nothing was wrong ever. We never fought about it or anything. I mean...
So, and I assume, Sandeep, that you did the design. You did the architectural design,
yeah,
which that
yes,
would be
yes.
fun to design your own home.
Yeah. Actually, it was a good experience. When Rajni is there, we discuss a lot of things. And it is actually, now I think it's quite a fun, actually. At that time, maybe we are not seeing as a fun activity, but now it was a good experience where we both together taking decisions and just go about it, and that, because the result was also very fine. It comes out very nicely. So now it's quite it was a good thing. Yeah.
I mean, those 6 months were very tough, but, you know, I mean, that gave us the home that we always wanted to live in. So, you know, that taking that plunge was difficult initially. So convincing him to do it, and it was like, you know, we'll have to do it someday or the other. And now that the kids are young, you know, we can, I mean, we'll be able to give them a better home. To
I think it's not about a particular thing. I think for past 20 years, whatever we did together, and I think the result is always positive. That's the one thing which I experienced also. Wherever Rajni is involved, I think together we did the good things, actually. I think we both as a partner is doing very fine in that way. Sometimes, yeah, there are some hiccups, but eventually the final result is always comes out very nice.
That's very touching. That makes me want to cry. What are the hiccups? What are the challenges besides raising small children? What are other areas where there have been hiccups?
See, I would say hiccups are in the sense that, you know,
nothing serious, actually. I'm just saying small things.
So whenever, you know, we have to, I mean, like I said, that, you know, those 6 months were great turmoil.
Yeah.
So whenever I have to kind of, you know, push him into something, doing something like this. So initially, you know, it takes a lot of convincing. So because, you know, he would not want his, you know, routine to be disturbed in any way. So I would, you know, cajole him and, you know, convince him that, see, that is, you know, how it is going to be, and you have to be, you know, with me, and, you know, together we'll do it and all. So initially it's tough, you know, taking decisions with the children also, you know, which school to put them in, you know, where to, I mean, which stream to choose, although we allow a lot of autonomy to the children, in that sense also, but, you know, finally, you know, one has to talk about it to them also and with each other also as to what would be good for them. So So these are things that, you know, require a lot of discussion. And so we have our arguments, but finally, you know, we move forward only when we come to a consensus about something.
Sometimes in terms of parenting, one parent is stricter, the other parent is more permissive, they don't agree on discipline. Has that been an issue or not?
I think I am the stricter one. So, and I want him to be stricter also, but he is the permissive one. So I guess it's working fine that way. So many a time, you know, when things are not working, because now the kids are older, so they, you know, many a time they take me what I say for granted and all. So I say, you are the father, you should be, you know, the authority figure, you should.
But I don't think we are strict parents. I think we are both, as Rajni is saying, she is strict, but I don't find her very strict. I think we are normal parents. We didn't force anything to our kids, and now kids are also doing very fine. So somehow we are also blessed somehow because of parents, or I don't know, some God grace is there, and so things are going very fine.
Okay. I mean, I had strict parents, but I have seen that, you know, my father-in-law that way is also a very, you know, blessed soul. I mean, he never, you know, maybe not even slapped him once. So that way, you know, I've also kind of, you know, learned his kind of parenting. So we are both not very strict with our kids. Talk it out with them.
What do you do for consequences? Like if someone comes in after they're supposed to, or I don't know what they might do to break the family rules. What kind of consequences would the kids have to experience to learn?
I mean, do they? No, we just, I mean, in terms of consequences, we just said that, okay, we are displeased. So, and I will not talk to you. So, you know, until you come and apologize, or, you know, say how you are going to set things right. So more than that, I think we've never had to, you know, go. Because, you know, if we say that, you know, we are unhappy, the kids themselves, you know, realize it after a time. Maybe half an hour or 1 hour, not even more than that, you know, then they would come back and, you know, sit and this, please don't be unhappy. Tell us what's wrong, you know. This was my point of view. You tell me what is your point of view. So, you know,
we talk it out.
We try to convince each other. And whoever, I mean, it's not as if, you know, I understand the kid's point of view, then I don't say that, okay, go ahead, you were right, do it. And if I'm able to convince the kid, then, you know, I say that, okay, see, that's how it was wrong and we should not have done it. And they say that, okay, we'll not do it in future. So,
As I remember, there was a period when your son didn't want to study. He didn't want to put much effort into homework. So how did you handle that?
Yeah, that was a tough period. And once again, you know, it required a bit of, you know, formatting, so to say. So we sat and we talked to him in terms of that, okay, what is it that you want to do in life? And honestly, he said that, you know, I don't want to do anything. I said that that's not a choice, right? Because, I mean, we come from working families and you'll have to earn a living. So you'll have to make one choice or the other. I mean, there's no way that you can get away with doing nothing. So then, you know, for that, you know, so we moved backward from there that, you know, for that you need to study. So if there is a choice between, you know, studying, you know, this or that, then what would that be? And, you know, but the marks and everything, you know, they are associated with certain prestige. So we said that, would you like to be labeled dumb? No, you are not. Then why would that be? So what kind of a percentage do you think you would be aiming at? Okay, so, no, not 90, 80%. Then, okay, then for what would you do for getting an 80%? You are spending only 1 hour a day. And that also reluctantly, that would be, you know, wouldn't be enough even for a pass result. So, you know, lots of techniques, you know, we tried, we looked up.
I think now we have experienced that if you give your child some time and talk some logic with them, because now kids are also very smart. So they also understand each and everything. They are now, they see, they are on social media also. They learn a lot of things. So I think if you talk logical with them and give them their right due and respect also, I should say that, I think eventually the things can be dealt with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, there are times, you know, I mean, when I was going through that period, it was tough. But again, you know, you have to talk to people also. I mean, I talk to you also as to, you know, what can I do? And you share those techniques of positive motivation. I did share them with him, taught him meditation.
I also had hearing because Dini is in teaching professions. She's already in touch with a lot of kids, a lot of parents, a lot of teachers. So I think she has more experience in dealing with kids, and especially at home also. So I must say she knows each and everything about to handle the kids.
Right. So. What's your average class size of your students, Rajini, in school?
I mean, in 2014, I moved to a special school for talented children. Oh. So in this school, you know, 35 is the maximum. So
oh,
there's a cap on 35 in one section. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
fabulous.
So max 35. Sometimes it's less than that also. So.
Wow. So you probably don't have discipline problems with your students in classes that are manageable like that. Because I think around India, there's lots of classes that are 60, 70, maybe 100, right?
Yes.
But you're right. I don't have discipline problems. Because you know, in this new school, a lot of children who are highly motivated, they are the ones, you know, who seek admission here. So generally, you know, that is not a problem. But here, you know, they don't want you to waste their time. So you have to make them realize the importance of your subject and, you know, what it's going to do for them. Only then they will study. Otherwise, you know, I mean, discipline problems can be there. So, I mean, because I have the sciences classes, and they feel that, you know, just studying language is what? We don't need it. So at times, you know, initially I have to work with them on the importance of, you know, communication skills and how and what it, in what way it can affect their career. So and that's where, you know, these things come in. Afterwards, once they realize, you know, once they start connecting, it's good. I mean, I learned a lot of team building activities when I was in US. So, you know, they have been very good. So, I mean, they helped me with my classes a lot.
Hmm. So. I've been interviewing young people around the world. I just finished a book on girl climate activists. And what really strikes me about teenagers today, Generation Y, is they're very confident, very informed, think
Absolutely.
Adults have really failed them. And it's amazing how much they know and how confident they are. But at least in the West, there's growing anxiety and depression. So I wonder what you see among young people in your network, the confidence, but the anxiety. Do you see that?
Yes, it's definitely there. I mean, the anxiety about what is going to happen, you know, the jobs are decreasing. And so, everywhere there is that mad rush for, you know, what to do, you know, in what career take, what would, where would they finally end up? So these are their formative years. And that way I find my job very fulfilling because I get to, you know, help them in those years realize who they are and, you know, what they can do with their lives. So I think one of the, and being a language teacher, I mean, I guess I feel the most connected with my students actually, you know, because the sciences people, they just come and teach and that's it. But, you know, my subject also allows me, you know, lots of activities where I can, you know, hear where they can pour their heart out and, you know, I can hear what they are actually feeling. So it's good that anxiety is there, but I think I'm able to many a time help them out. Especially, you know, my children, they are from financially disadvantaged backgrounds. So one anxiety that they sometimes suffer is that how are they going to afford the fees? So, you know, but again, you know, I've been working with lots of organizations. I've had good mentors. So we are also, Delhi government is also doing very good. So They allow people. So nowadays there are lots of scholarship opportunities, and nationally and internationally. So I'm able to help my children, access that also. And there also, I think, the role of language comes in. So because wherever they have to apply, they have to write essays and, write what their situation is and how they are going to, make an impact in society. So it's been a good journey professionally also. I feel I've been able to do some good work.
Yes. Some people say that social media, the kids get addicted and then they feel, they compare themselves, oh, this person has more likes or, more activities on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. Do you see that with the kids that you work with or your own kids, the influence of social media?
Influence is there, definitely. They just get influenced because, as Rajni is saying, these are the formative period, time for them. So they are taking a lot of things, and I don't know how they process it, but I'm sure till now, if I say about my kids, they are okay. We didn't get any sign of any negativity from them. So we are thanking God for them for it. My kids are right now, they are just okay. We are not getting any sign that they are getting disturbed or they are thinking something bad.
So I think one of the reasons is that that they come back and talk about it to us. So I think
we are very communicative. That way we can say that okay, we are doing good actually in terms of kids. Because if kid coming to you and discussing things out, so that means there's a communication channel is there and we can sort out each and everything.
So whatever it is that they are going through with their friends, they come back and discuss with us. So even if, some stories on Instagram about, hookah bars are quite a rage nowadays, in Delhi. So, I mean, where the smoke, my son, he often comes back and, shows the stories of his friends and says, see, what a good kid you got. I never go to one. So I said, good. So we sometimes, help them process that, okay, this world is unreal, social media, it's there, but it's unreal. What you have around you in family and, friends that you go to, that is more real than, any images that you see up there. So I guess that has helped.
Do you limit their time on social media or do they limit themselves?
We want to, but we are not successful.
because COVID has been,
this is a special year also.
Yes. So, I don't know after COVID, how we are going to put the limits and how we are going to de-addict them, because as of now, there is no other outlet.
Actually, we are also into, we are also in,
On screen all the time.
Most of the time we are just chatting on or maybe doing work on computer. So it's very difficult. We are doing it, you don't do it. So this is the thing. It's a challenging time that way.
And their classes are taking place online. So after classes, when they are working, they are online. So you never really know whether they are, chatting with friends. And I guess that also becomes important too, because that is all, the only way to stay connected nowadays.
And it's not about us. I think we can hear everywhere now. Because this is I don't say this is a problem, but situation is like that only. So kids are on the computers, so we don't know how they are, what they are doing actually.
Are you both able to go to work during COVID, or are you working from home?
I have to go to school alternate day, but for other official work. Otherwise, the children are not coming to school, so we have to take classes online. So
I'm only going for meetings, that's all, with the clients. Otherwise, I'm doing work from home only.
As dual career couple, how do you organize cooking, cleaning, shopping, domestic work?
That way we are blessed, because in India you can you can find household helps. So they do it.
But shopping is in our most of the time I am doing the shopping for groceries and small things.
So he did it only this year, because before that, you know, my father-in-law used to do it. And, you know, he's been like, oh my God, there is so much shopping to do. From milk to, you know, groceries and to fruits to vegetables. There's so much to buy. So you know, if we ask him for too many things in one day, he's like, you know, I've done my shopping for the day. So now you'll have to wait.
Do you have live-in help, or do they just come and clean and go home?
They come and, you know, clean and go home, yeah. So we have someone to, you know, clean and, you know, wash clothes, and another one to do the cooking and all. So
that's great. For some couples, money is a challenge because one wants to spend and the other wants to save. How do you organize how you spend your money, how you save your or invest your money?
This is one of the issues where we used to fight a lot.
He's the saving type, and, you know, so I would like to spend on things, you know, that add to our quality of life. So then, you know, we have to kind of, you know, put it forward. Okay, so this is something that we want to buy. So we talk over it for about, you know, 4 or 5 months, and then, you know, finally he agrees.
We have to plan things, yeah. Really.
So if there's a conflict, like she says, I want to buy this, and he says, no, we can't afford it, how do you resolve the conflict? With your kids, you use reason and logic.
I tell you what now, kids are also taking side of her. Now, she used to, they make a gang, and they just, then they come all three onto me. Then I most of the time lose the battle.
We are very reasonable that way, you know. We are not very flashy, showy people. So, I mean, our, you know, wants are, I guess, I mean, for very, very limited. I think it's the other way around. Many a time, you know, he's been telling me that, okay, it's our anniversary, buy some piece of jewelry and, you know, buy something. And I'm the one like, you know, I don't need it. I mean, how much jewelry? I mean, I don't wear much, so.
Mm.
So, it's been good. I mean, you know, laughs apart, but we don't really, you know, argue about anything too much. So if he says, okay, you know, we shouldn't go for it, then I also say, okay, if that's how you feel, then we don't.
Hmm. But as I said, with the kids, if there's a disagreement, you use logic. Do you use the same tact with each other, reason, logic, evidence to make a point?
Yes.
Absolutely. And with each other, I think it's a mutual respect also, you know, so that, you know, if I say something, he would take it with respect. And, you know, when he says something, same applies here, that, you know, if something makes him unhappy, I would never do it.
Now we, after so much, after spending so much of time with Rajini, I think now she understands me, I understand her. I think now I must say that I believe her, and whatever decisions she takes, so I'm perfectly okay with that. Now I leave a lot of things to her. I think now she takes a lot of decisions, and that way I allow kind of, we allow each other actually. To grow and to do something or to change things. So I think that is kind of love.
Lot of mutual trust, yes.
Yes,
lot of mutual trust.
Trust is the word, yes. Yes, trust is the word. That's the right word, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I did a book, 50-50 Marriage, they said the most important thing was they were best friends and they liked to talk to each other. They were interested in each other, so talking wasn't like boring. It was they found each other interesting. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, I would say we are best friends, but it's not always about talking. Also, I mean, because he's not much of a talker, and you know, there are days when he doesn't even want to listen. So, you know, I would start talking, and he would say that, you know, oh, you have such a melodious voice, I fall asleep. So. So I'm like, you know, I'm trying to discuss something and here you are, you know, dozing off. So So it's not always, you know, that also. But in fact, you know, that has been one of my grudges with him, that, you know, I say that, you know, I talk with my friends for hours. And with you, you know, when I make a call, it's never more than 30 seconds. So because I'll say, okay, you have to break this. Okay, I'll do that. So, but yes, we are best friends in the sense that, you know, we appreciate each other the most, and we understand each other's, you know, even unsaid words. And, you know, it's not always things that need to be said, you know, said, unsaid.
Now, I think that's what she's right. Maybe words, sometimes words don't do the justice. Sometimes body, you understand the partner body language. that's sometimes quite enough also.
Yeah. So if I'm feeling bad about something, I don't always have to say it to him. So, you know, the day I'm down, you know, he would come and he would ask on his own that, you know, okay, what's wrong?
Yeah.
What? And so if I've had an argument at workplace, or, you know, I'm unhappy over something, and then I pour it out to him, and, you know, he's like, okay, you are the best. You don't have to bother about these things. You know, you're doing good work, and, you know, be confident. Don't worry. So he'll be there to help and support. So
maybe that's a female, male thing that it seems women talk more about. Emotion, the description, go into detail and elaborate, and men are just like, da, da, da. So it's something, the way we're socialized as men and women.
Yeah, that's true. Because in fact, you know, that is, you know, one of the best things that, you know, now when he goes for something, say, for example, we had a family function or something where only he went. So he now knows that, you know, what do I expect from him? So he would come back and, you know, so I would say, okay, so then he went there. And, you know, he would give me that point by point detail. So that is something that I feel I've taught him.
That's so true. That the woman will say to the husband, well, how was your day? Oh, it's fine. And he says, well, how was your day? Well, so-and-so said so-and-so, and so-and-so said so-and-so, and then I said so-and-so, and this was... And he's like, oh, my gosh. All that detail. That's interesting. Masters and Johnson, the sex therapist, said that pair bonding, P-A-I-R, is based on the shared memory of good times. So that's the glue that holds a couple together. And I know you've had some wonderful trips to different locations. What else has been the fun glue that bonds the couple and the family?
I think it's the family itself, I think. I mean, for us, you know, relationships are important, and so, you know, having kids, you know, his family, my family, you know, working for each other, you know, to keep each other's family happy also, you know, so that has been good. And it's not as if, you know, we don't criticize each other's family. So, but I guess, I mean, we've come to that stage where it's okay. So if I'm feeling something wrong about, you know, so he'll not say why you are saying that. He'll, you know, just end it, you know, probably with, but I know that, you know, they love you. So, and, you know, that kind of solves everything for me. And same here also, that, you know, he would, you know, say things about, you know, my family, and I would say that, you know, but you are most precious to them. So, and they care about you and care about what you think. And I think, I guess that does it for, and they are our biggest supporters. I said that, you know,
yes.
So he realizes that, you know, my family is there to support him, and I know that his family is there to support me. So that has also been good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sandeep, you have 5 sisters? So there's a lot of cousins. How do you get together with such large extended families? That must be really like a big party.
It is. You know, we have like 2 festivals, in India.
I think that day, I think we almost have more than 30 people in the house, and it's a big party time. Yeah. So it's a fun, actually. We met, we enjoy each other's companies. We discuss. We are just having a blast at that time. So I am very blessed that I got so big family. So it's really, really, I'm quite happy with that. Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, the children have grown up, so it's not as if there are not arguments. So, you know, because the issues do crop up, but but I guess, you know.
Because because we are all working and it's a very, very busy life. So when people come to your house, you really enjoy talking to them. Yeah, really. So that part we used to miss, actually, sitting together, doing nothing and just gossiping and just joking and just having blast. So now we have limited time, and if my sister come to me with their kids, so it's a really fun time for me, and it's really give me a break from the hustle of the daily working. Yeah.
How many?
We are not very social people. I mean, apart from family, you know, we don't have
too much of
social circle. So we don't go out, and you know, we are. Sandeep is not that kind of a person that, you know, he would spend evenings with friends or anything. No? So he has just work colleagues, and few friends that he has, they're also, you know, he doesn't go or, you know, call them much or anything of that sort. So they just connect on phone or maybe sometimes go out.
Sometimes,
very few and far between. So, same here. So,
how many siblings do you have, Rajni?
I have two, one brother and one sister.
And are they in Delhi as well?
Yeah, they are.
So,
they also come and visit, yes. So
that's nice for your kids that they have all these cousins that are their friends.
Yeah,
so I mean, because Sandeep's sisters are older, so on that side, you know, all the cousins are older. And because my siblings are younger, so on this side, you know, all the siblings are younger.
What else have you done for fun? I just keep picturing you on the lake in a boat, you know, in Kashmir or someplace like that. Where
I showed you the picture, I think, yeah? Did I?
On Facebook, probably.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, in Kashmir, so we went with my sister. I mean, her husband he was in army and he was posted there. So we spent, you know, good 15 days, you know, going around and, you know, watching the places and everything. Otherwise, you know, we've been almost all around the country. And so almost every year, once or twice, I mean, this year it hasn't been, but otherwise, you know, at least two times, you know, we go out. And so sometimes it's religious places also. I mean, that is also not, you know, something that we cut out of our itinerary.
This is one of the best time we spend during vacations. Yeah,
so we watch movies. Our kids love to go to malls. So malls is something that we go to almost every other weekend. You know, because shopping is their favorite pastime. So.
That's the good. I guess that's a good thing about COVID is it's not really safe to go to malls.
Yes.
Shopping and whatever. So if you believed in karma, what would you say that karmically you've learned from each other? What's been the karma that brought you together so you could learn evolve in certain ways?
I've learned, you know, patience from him. So I used to be a very impatient person that if I have to do something, I have to do it now. And, you know, I'm going to change the world, this and that. So he's brought me a lot of peace and patience and, you know, kind of certain settlement in life. So I have no anxieties anymore. I'm at peace with myself. So that is something that I've learned from him. So happy in wherever I am, you know, in being myself.
Right. The thing is, if you allow the person to grow at his or her speed and to change at her and to his or her speed, I think, and then you accept it. So I think that is. I think for me, it's a love. Only love can do. If you don't have any love between you, then maybe this will not happen. But yeah, I accept Rajni as it is, and I really admire what she's doing right now. So this mutual admiration is very important for us, yes.
So you've grown in terms of Well, it sounds like you both become more patient and more accepting.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Well, do you, it's what I believe is that that our souls do pick partners, really important life people, because we have things to work out together and ways to grow. Do you believe that or not?
Haven't really thought about it, but now that you say it, I think it must be. It must be. I mean, when they say that, you know, your partner is maybe, you know, the other missing half of your soul, I believe that now, you know.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
My yeah. Cat came to say hello. Is it, some people say that you have to work on relationships. People think, oh, it's just love and it just carries itself along. Do you agree that you have to work at it? And if so, what does work mean?
I think you have to work at it.
Yeah, it's, you have to balance the love and work, yeah, that way now. In any relationship, I must say that. So, as I was telling you in the beginning also, that we have to come back to drawing boards after a certain time and to discuss things out. So, we have to, we keep engaged, we keep engaging with each other, and just time to time we talk about things. So, I think this talking each other helps a lot to resolve the things. Yes,
and have that kind of understanding, and give the other person space, and you can't let egos come in the way, right? So you have to have that. I mean, if you're too full of yourself, then you can't do it. You have to accept the person, that okay, this person is part of your life and therefore good. I mean, and and how you are going to make it work. So if there are, it may not be. I mean, he may not like the whole of me, or I may not like the whole of him. But I'm not going to try and fix him. That he's not a clay toy that can be molded. Or we need to. There are rough edges in everyone, isn't it? But you have to somehow fit them together so that it makes a complete whole.
Hmm. How do you keep from being bored? How does one keep romance and kind of some spark alive in a long marriage?
Once again, it changes. I was a young bride, I was all into that romance kind of thing, and he would be like, this is nonsense, and this is just a marketing gimmick, and so if it's my birthday, and I would, kind of, hello. So if it's his birthday, I would go and, do shopping for him, make him cards, and he would be like, oh, what color have you got? I wish you had bought another color. So I would chuck it. I'm not going to do it anymore. And now I think it's the other way around. So now he's the one, who would make a fuss, and, he would say, oh, it's your birthday, she would buy flowers. And I would say, oh, why have you wasted money on flowers? Anyways, they'll melt tomorrow. So I guess, these things happen, but we don't really get angry with each other about it. Just appreciate that, the other person has tried it, no matter what. And now we don't even, voice our thoughts about it. So, just appreciate and not be so candid about it.
Mm-hmm. What are your astrological signs, your birth signs?
I'm Libra.
I'm Virgo.
Uh-huh. I'm Gemini. When an astrologer went over your charts, they were looking for the moon, compatibility with the moon or Venus, or do you know what they looked at?
That thing we don't, I think we also not believe 100%, yes, I think.
No, but the charts weren't compatible, so that is a good sign.
Now we can say that now, after 20 years, chart must be compatible, they must be matching this.
But astrologer had said that, it's kind of compatible, so it was something to look forward to. That, you know, it's good to know that, you know, it will work out in the end, you know, because initially, I mean, when the tough times are going on and you're, you know, wondering, like, you know, whether you would reach there someday or not. So it's a solace. It's a solace to know that, you know, you are compatible, so you have to work it out.
Hmm. When you're with your family, do you speak English or do you speak Hindi, or what language do you mostly speak?
Mostly Hindi.
Mostly we speak Hindi, yeah, yes.
That's so good for the kid's brain to be bilingual. And what do they learn other languages in school as well as English and Hindi?
Girl was learning French also.
Bhuvi had learned a bit of French for 2-3 years, and
Sanskrit was there. Studied Sanskrit. Yes.
So I mean, they have to learn 3 languages for some time at least. I mean, so that was the 3rd language that they chose. But I don't think they are much proficient in that. So they just did it for school because it's part of the school curriculum. Yeah.
Right. When I was in Delhi, I visited government school that was near a slum, and there were holes in the roof. There were maybe just a few computers for the whole school. It was just like a dirt playground for the kids to play football. Pardon?
When you visited that?
It was maybe 4 years ago.
Now the things are improving. Delhi government is doing lot of changes because we are associated with government also. We are doing lot of government projects in hospitals. We are making schools also. Now situation getting better day by day.
So the new, you know, Delhi government is investing a lot in schools and, you know, hospitals. So I mean, they have really made a difference. So, you know, new buildings, new infrastructure, you know, computers and, you know, everything. I mean, now we have swimming pools in, you know, in the new schools and, you know, I mean, world level facilities. So they are being appreciated for their work, and I think they have made a lot of difference. Even I was getting worried, you know, I mean, since I work in the government sector, and there were times when I used to think about that, you know, how are we going to continue working in these conditions? But, you know, the past few years have been very good, and, you know, the results are showing. So things have really gotten better. I mean, in the whole country, I think, you know, the politics aside, that their work in education is speaking for itself.
Hmm. The I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Adam Adani party in Delhi was very progressive.
It's Aam Aadmi Party.
Are they still in power?
Stands for Aam Aadmi Party. Stands for Aam Aadmi is common man. So they are the common man's party. That's what they call themselves. So yeah, they're still in power.
So yeah. Are they the ones responsible for this focus on education?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Healthcare also.
I mean, we had some hospitals, but, you know, they have made what are called mohalla clinics. What is mohalla clinic in English?
Clinics.
Local clinics. Yeah. So where, you know, community clinics. So where the people can go and, you know, get free healthcare. So.
I think 80% of Indians live in the village and are rural farmers who live lives very different from yours. And it seems like, I know the farmers are really upset right now. They're striking in Delhi because they feel the government isn't supporting of the small farmer. What kind of efforts are being made to educate the people in the villages who are out in the countryside?
See, generally, you know, I mean, education in our country is is taken care of at 2 levels. So, I mean, the central policies that are made by the central government, and, you know, how to actually, you know, apply it, implement it, is done by the state governments. So it's the state governments that are responsible for what happens or, you know, what is done for education. So I don't know about, you know, what is happening in the other states. So, I mean, it's a different scenario. I mean, there are lots of differences in, you know, maybe education in Kerala, because Kerala is known for, you know, they have 100% literacy and, you know, they have very good schools. And I have been there, I mean, as part of, you know, CBSE workshops and also, I mean, they have very good facilities, even in the most rural areas, you know, they have incinerators in the, you know, washrooms for girls. So, you know, which is something that I've yet, which is, you know, being done in Delhi now. I mean, and that I'm talking about 6-7 years ago. And comparatively, you know, many other states.
Things are improving, no doubt. Things are improving day by day. As I'm telling you, each and every government is now, especially after COVID also, on the focus shifted on the healthcare. So a lot of medical colleges and a lot of healthcare facilities are coming up. We are doing a lot of projects with other governments also, all over India, in fact. And in education also, there is a lot of
higher
universities are coming. So, in overall, scenario is good now. So, I can see after 2-3 years, so things, I think, things are looking up.
In India and a lot of Asian countries, the kids are really stressed out because they have the board exams that are in 10th grade, level 10. And it's so stressful because the boards are almost everything in terms of getting into university. So I wonder, is that still true that they universities mostly look at the board exams? And what kind of support systems are so kids don't get so stressed?
Well, I mean, yes, board exams are important, but I mean, support systems, yes, there are, you know, helpline numbers that, you know, kids can call. I mean, at central level, at state levels, you know, lots of counselors are sitting around, you know, manning those helplines. If you have any anxiety or any issues, you can, you know, call them up and talk to them. And, you know, lots of advisories are issued for parents also and for children also that, okay, this is not the end of the world. I mean, it's just an exam. You know, try and look at it in perspective.
But still, parents and kids are taking it as a pressure things. Yeah, it's, no doubt, still is a pressure for, I think, for the parents also, for the kids also. But let's, as Rajni is saying, now a lot of people are start talking about it. You know, don't take pressure. There's still life goes on. And now with the new education policy, which may come next year, so in that also they're trying to ease off things. Yes. So they will give you a lot of opportunities after board exam also. If you want to do architecture or some engineering also, so there, it's not like the things get closed. So you have other avenues also. So to go into it eventually. So
are they 16 or so when they take the important board exams?
Yeah, 10th around 15, 16, 10th board comes, and around 18th. This 12th board exam. So this 12th class board exam is the eventual decider to where they want to go, in which stream they want to go. So 10th, in 10th day, I think science, commerce and this art, the three major streams happens. And after 12th, I think there are all lot of different streams comes up where student take admissions. Yeah. So I think 12th class is the main deciding point. We have which one to go.
Do universities look at their marks, their grades in school, or do they just look at the board exams?
For various you know, universities, the process of selection is different. So, I mean, for the sciences, I think they have to all go through entrance tests. I mean, there are, you know, various tests, and for the others, they are looking at marks also. The board marks.
Yes.
So your son wants to be an architect. What about your daughter? What has she thought about her career line?
She's there.
Good. Have her come.
Come. Say hi.
Come from this side, yeah.
Look at you. You are so grown up and beautiful. I'm so glad to see you.
Thank you. Me too.
Come and sit down, can you? Look at you. I haven't seen you since you were little. What a treat. Oh, I'm thrilled.
When I remember you visiting me at hospital, I do.
Oh, I that was very vivid. And you haven't gotten sick since then, right?
No, I haven't. Fortunately, I haven't.
So, Reiki, what are you thinking of studying? What are you interested in?
Well, I have chosen arts as my stream, and I am planning to pursue English honors because my mom also did that. But I'm also interested in learning literature, so that's why I'm planning to pursue English honors. After that, I don't really have a plan. My mom always tells me that go step by step. So the next step I'm looking forward to is doing my boards and getting admission in a good college.
I mean, she is interested in probably doing a job in the UN or something. I mean, she wants to do something international. So I don't know how one goes about it, actually. So if you have something, I mean, if you know something, please do let us know.
I think, you know, the best way to get a job like that is to intern, to do some kind of internship and keep your eyes open for that kind of an opportunity. So you get to know the ropes and know people.
Well, if you come across any opportunity, please, you know, don't let us know, because she really is interested in that. Yeah.
Right. It seems like your generation is uniquely global in their perspective. They really think about global issues. They don't really care about people's background or caste or whatever. They're really very accepting of diversity. Why do you think your generation is so smart and so confident and so smart?
Ma'am, you see, with every generation, the mindset is changing. When people, you know, go around and get more experience, they open their minds and they get to know that, yes, there's life beyond this caste system and this religion, and you have to accept everyone because at the end of the day, you all are human beings. So, and everyone wants to be modern now. So if you are having now this kind of thinking that you belong to this caste or you're having this kind of religion, I cannot talk to you and blah, blah, that kind of thinking is now backward according to the new generation. So everyone wants to be modern now, so they want to open their mind and they want to accept everyone. And I now you cannot say everyone likes it or not, but they at least try. So that's the thing.
Hmm. What about your friends? What do they think about whether they want to do an arranged marriage where the family helps or a, quote, love marriage? What are people saying?
Well, I don't think my friends are even thinking about marriage. You know, as students my age, they only think about the career. And because most of them, they think that, yes, my parents will find me one. I don't have to worry about that. So I just focus on my career.
I remember your mom told me once, it's so great not to have to date. You don't have to, like, flirt or, you know, you bypass that whole dating game, which is could be very appealing.
You know, my mom's really protective of me, I must admit that. It's not like many parents have totally told their children that you cannot date. Some have, but some haven't. I have friends who date and who have been in relationships. But my mother really tells me to, you know, because these things are basically distracting in life. So, yes, just focus on your main goal and these things will come and go. And when you have the need, you can just focus upon them when it's necessary. Now it's not.
That makes life easier, much, much right. Less complicated.
yeah.
Right. So what do you think your parents did that you want to do when you're a parent, that in terms of being good parents? What do you think? That was really a good tactic, or I'm going to do that too.
Well, I guess just the way my mom talks to me, you know, you have to have a good communication with your kid. So I also feel that's a really, you know, good tactic they do, that they talk to us and they don't, you know, just put us in the corner that I told you to do that, just do it. You know, they don't order us, they ask us, and if it's good, then yes, we come to an agreement. So talking is the key, basically.
Absolutely.
So yes, I guess that's a really good first tactic.
And what did you learn from their marriage that you can apply if you get married to make it a happy marriage?
Okay, well, you know, since I have a teenage mind, I have lots of fantasies. So I guess my mom or my father also had some sort of fantasies. I got to know that not every fantasy becomes true. Okay, you have to, you know, you have to change yourself according to your partner. And that change can be good, or that change cannot be good. But you have to adjust, basically. You have to make space for your partner also. You cannot be like, I do this, and you just listen. No, you have to listen to him also, or her also. So
it's a give and take.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh, good. Anything else that we haven't talked about that makes a family work, makes a marriage work, that you'd like to add?
I mean, have faith on each other, trust, and you know, like I said, don't let egos come in the way. So, I mean, I see lots of young couples, you know, having big fat egos. I mean, when that comes, you know, love, there's no space left for love. So, and don't have, when I got married, I mean, I told myself that, okay, I'll not have any expectations, so to say, preset. So don't walk into a relationship with a set of preconditions or pre-expectations that, you know, this is what is going to happen. You know, every person is different. So I thought that then, you know, whatever I'll get, you know, that would be a boon. So it's been good. I mean, you have to have some...
And patience, I think, is the key, I think. Having patience... just wait, and maybe sometimes things gets on the track by themselves. Yeah.
You have to give it time.
So that comes back to patience. Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.